I traveled the roads about 30 years. Did I mute it? Did I?
The red light on? The red light's on this time. It's kind of strange. Red's on with this thing.
This was one of the places I always look forward to coming to.
All preachers have their favorite churches.
Sometimes it's because of the big offering.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's because the wife likes you.
Yeah.
I told Brother Carpenter years ago, I said, you get to preach twice in a church if the wife likes you.
Yeah.
The wife don't like you, you ain't coming back.
Yeah.
Amen. And I do appreciate the honor of naming the prophet's chamber.
Yeah.
The back cave, amen. Yeah. I just picking at y'all about that, so
yeah, that's good.
I'm gonna sign my signature to it so people know how that came about.
Yeah.
But it is an honor to be here and been serving God 44 years, I think. I'd have to go back and count them up. I think we got saved in 78, I believe, I don't know. I'm saved, I know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And knew right off the bat that I wasn't going to be a pew sitter. I don't know why I knew that, but I just had that itch, I mean, from day one, and fought the Lord about a year for my call to preach and surrender to preach, and it was on from then on. And God has used me, and to Him be the glory. I wasn't a highly educated preacher. I basically educated myself after I got saved through reading and studying and just reading and reading and reading and reading. And he'd lay something on my heart and I'd go do it. Once I got my church going, they about crazy as I was, so no matter what we come up with, we'd all load up and go.
Yeah, right.
I hauled them all over the world. Yeah. I took 36 of them to Germany for a camp meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Took about 35 of them to Nova Scotia when we started up there doing the work. And they just load them and go eat.
Yeah.
And so we just, you know. What I always said, if the church is dead, we will have our own meeting.
Yeah.
You need to take folks with you, amen?
Yeah, that's right.
And they get in a church that's kind of don't know how to worship the Lord or how to enjoy God, and next thing you know, they're looking at y'all and say, well, that's what we need to do.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And so, sure good to know Brother Mike, and he is a tremendous blessing to our church. When I was there in Glory Land, right now, I'm at another preacher boys church, and they put Brother Jordan in there, and so I felt it best for me to ease down the road and let him get established as a preacher. Appreciate Brother Martin's interest in it, and
amen.
I don't guess that's what God wanted, so. God knows.
Yeah,
you definitely want to be out of the will of God.
Amen.
Man, this thing's hard enough in His will.
Yes, sir.
And Brother Jordan's there, good man, Miss Anna.
Amen.
And I'm over at Josh Hickey's. He's a young preacher. Well, he ain't young, he's 39 now, but he started preaching when he's 8. I had about 25 preachers we put out of that church through the years. And some of them made it, some of them didn't. So, but praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Look with me if you would. I finished Sunday school a little earlier, but when I'm in another pulpit, I don't know what to do, so I'd rather be early than late.
Yeah.
Amen. Y'all enjoyed the break, didn't you?
Yeah.
And next Sunday, Brother Carpenter's going to quit at 10:30. I'm going to call up here and check with one of your church members. How long did he preach today? Deuteronomy chapter 32. Let's look in verse 31. Now go back up. I'll tell you, go back to about 27. It says there, were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest that adversary should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, our hand is high and the Lord has done all this. Amen. For they are a nation void of counsel. Now this is America today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything going on, some of these liberal Christians think God's in all of it.
Yeah.
And God ain't in all of it.
Right.
Amen. But this is America, they void of counsel. And what counsel they seek is not good counsel.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And if they get a man up there that they might seek counsel from, if he talks about Jesus, he ain't there long.
No.
Now, Billy Graham was a great man. His son, Franklin Graham. I like when Desert Storm remember they started talking to him, but he wouldn't be 2 minutes in the conversation. He didn't give him a plan of salvation. Mm-hmm. Well, he was out of there pretty quick. They didn't.
Yeah, right.
They didn't do that. Now they stopped these boys praying before football games, and then they took that coach to court. Remember he's praying on the 50-yard line?
Mm-hmm.
See, they don't want our God.
Yeah, right.
They don't want no recognition of our God.
Right.
Of our God, anything that might bring glory and honor to God. But it says there, how, in verse 30, how should one chase 1,000 and put 10,000 to flight, except their rock. Now notice that capital R.
Amen.
That's another rock rather than our rock.
Mm-hmm.
Has sold them. In other words, misled them. Deserted them. Departed from them. And the Lord has shut them up. Now look what he said here. For their rock is not our rock.
That's right.
Now when he made a reference to it there, he used little r.
Mm-hmm.
Their rock is not our rock.
Mm-hmm.
Even our enemies themselves being judges. In other words, the enemy knows that our God's the greatest.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
The enemy fears our God. That's why they're trying to shut everything down. That's why they're trying to shut churches down, Christians that have a witness. That's why anything that might have any moral standard in our schools, they're trying to do away with. Amen. They know that our God is a great God. Even if they deny Him, they know that. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
And I mean, history shows that our God runs the show.
Yeah, amen.
Right. Things that can't be explained, ain't but one way to explain it.
Right.
Our God.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. And so I want to preach this morning on that thought. We're going to go to Psalm 61. It's time to get back to the rock.
Mm-hmm.
Now, God's people, if you're not very careful, and I'm a pastor, and I have a pastor's heart, and all my stuff pretty well directed to church members.
Mm-hmm.
The average church member today, and I see it through current events that goes on in the world, everything in the world concerns the Christian to the point of upsetting them. The price of gas. How many of you have put into a service station and did not have the money to buy the gas you need?
Right. Yeah.
I've always had the money.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
$4 something a gallon. I filled up. I got an old truck that loves it, and $100 to fill the tank up. About 3 or 4 days later, another $100 to fill the tank up. But I seem to always have the $100.
Yeah,
why? Our rock.
Yeah.
Our rock is the great rock.
Yeah, right.
Not their rock.
That's right.
Their rock is higher education.
Yeah. Right.
Their rock is politicians.
Yeah, right.
Their rock is a strong army.
Yeah.
Their rock is drugs and dope. And amen. That ain't our rock.
Yeah, amen.
What goes on in that world should not concern us
right.
in our Christian life and the ability for us to depend on our God to
that's
take
right.
care of us.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
Psalms 61, if you'll go there. Y2K was one of the greatest examples I'd ever seen of God's people not trusting God.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have a clue. And I said, well, if it's the end of the world, here we go. Let's go.
Yeah, well,
instant glory. You ain't going to have nothing to eat. Well, we'll starve dead and go home and be with the Lord.
Yeah.
And they said, never seen the righteous forsaken or the righteous, I can't quote that right now.
Yeah.
If you ever, the people that went through the Depression, most of them died off now, but when I got in this thing 44 years ago, you'd hear a lot of testimonies of the old folks who went through that Depression, how God took care of them, how God fed them,
yeah.
how their crops would produce more than normal, how a little garden that they could plant. And you've seen there where God, now he didn't feed them T-bone and ribeye probably every day, but they had enough food.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. Our God is very capable of that.
Yeah, amen.
So turn with me, if you would, to Psalms chapter 61. The Psalms here, David, he says, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. And that's a good example of when you begin to pray. God, would you please pay attention? God, would you give ear to my prayer? That's the way I pray in my private prayer life. Amen. I want his attention. He said, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. Well, my heart is overwhelmed, and it was at this time. David had lost his son, and the enemies that was coming against him, and just persecution on every hand. And he said, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I.
Yeah, right.
You know, when you're going through hard times, you know what you need? You need something greater than you.
That's right.
When you're going through hard times, or you're going through financial trouble, don't go to a loser to get some advice.
Yeah.
Go to a winner.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. When you're going through times and your heart's been broke and your plans didn't work out and all that, don't go to the bottle.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen. Go to a preacher. Go to a church. Go to somebody that encourage you and help you and pick you up. Yeah. Amen. But lost people and a lot of backslidden Christians or Christians that don't trust God, they immediately go to the rock of the world.
Yes, sir.
They immediately. Trouble will take a saved man out of church and put a lost man in church. Mm-hmm. Craziest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yes, it is.
Amen. A man will have a tragedy or something, and he'll say, well, man, I need to get in church. You got somebody been sitting in church 20 years, and maybe the family breaks up, the marriage breaks up, they quit.
Yeah.
Man, that's when you need the church.
Right. Yeah.
You don't go to a hospital when you're well. You go to a hospital when you're sick.
Right.
You don't go in there and sit till you get sick. Amen.
Yeah.
But it's there when you're sick.
That's right.
People got this thing so backwards.
Yeah, amen.
But he says there, he said, well, that has been a shelter for me and a strong tower for the enemy. I shall abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. I like that. For thou, O God, has heard my vows. Thou has given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. In other words, he's overcome his enemies. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever, O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So I will sing praise unto thy name forever, and I may daily perform my vows. I want to preach that thought this morning on get back to the rock. Now, evidently, David realized he kind of wandered off. Remember, he numbered Israel. You remember that? Well, what was he doing? He left the rock.
Yeah.
He got over there, and the reason he numbered Israel, and God got so upset at him, is because he put his strength and his in how many soldiers he had, not in the mere fact that God was doing the fighting.
Yeah, right. That's good.
See, a lot of, and that's where you go to the other rock.
Yeah.
You see their rock. People today, higher education. Matter of fact, just and please get an education. I'm not preaching against education.
Right.
I didn't care much for one. The first day I went to school, I didn't care much for the last day I went to school. And I've regretted it ever since. Amen? But get you an education so you can get you a decent job where you can provide for your family, where you can support the work of God and do mission work for God. Get you an education. But don't depend on that education to be your rock.
Right. That's right.
My daughter had a job making $80,000 a year in the finance business, worked at home, and then the interest started going up, the housing market dropped, and wham, she's out of job. Amen? You got right now, some of y'all, I don't know where you work, you could have a good paying job making $100,000 a year, $120,000 a year, walk in the morning and the people say, I'm sorry, but we're having to close down. You want to put your trust in the rock.
That's right.
You don't want to put your trust in their rock.
Yeah.
Amen? And we worry to death about who's going to be president. You know, I don't care who has been president in my 78 years, it has never affected me personally in no way whatsoever.
Yeah.
We're just going down the road.
Yeah.
And people just tying the knot about president. Now, I realize they're trying to pass these old stupid rules and laws and all that stuff, but the average person don't want that.
Right.
This abortion thing that everybody, these liberals are crying about, I think it was Indiana that voted to keep the thing like it was. I mean, don't worry about that stuff.
Yeah.
You know how to prevent abortion? Get them people saved.
Yeah, man. Yeah. That's right.
I used to have people coming into Birmingham back in, back in the 80s, I guess, wanting to protest abortion clinic. Don't go down and protest abortion clinic. Go out and win them people to the Lord.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
That's when Rudolph, they called him, that got hid up here in North Carolina mountain somewhere, bummed that abortion clinic down there. But I want to show you some things this morning. First of all, a rock makes a good foundation. If you want something solid, build it on a rock. But you got to build it on the right kind of rock. There's some rocks you can bring in to build on, they won't hold up. Amen? But it also makes a good weapon.
Yeah.
I'd born in the woods of Mississippi, and our number one weapon was a rock.
Yeah.
We killed every Indian in them woods.
Yeah.
I mean, every muster that got after us, and every tiger and lion. And when I went in the Army, I was an expert hand grenade thrower. I still got the thing, says expert. And the sergeant, he said, well, how in the world? I said, I've been throwing these things since I was 3 years old. If you've been in the military, you got a law of them hand grenades, you know.
Yeah.
And I'd break the stick that they had in the center of that circuit. And he was just amazed at that. But that's how I can knock you out running 30 miles an hour with a rock.
Yeah.
I don't know how many of y'all born in the country, but we'd take them old wet, soaked corn cobs. And you knock a chicken, you know, you knock a chicken out. He will. He'll fall down just like he's dead. And lay there a few minutes and wobble around, hop up and run off. You can knock him, and we could knock them chickens out and them running with a corn cob. How many are raised in the woods? Y'all didn't have quite the life I had, did you? Well, Grandma called me. She beat me by. She knocked me out. Amen. A rock is a good landmark.
Yeah.
You mark things with a rock.
Yeah.
They make good boundary markers.
Mm-hmm.
Your rock ought to be a boundary marker.
Yeah.
In other words, I can't do that because Jesus Christ is my rock. I can't go there. I can't dress like that.
Yeah.
I can't act like that. I can't talk like that. I can't hang around with you. I'm not marrying you. I'm not dating you.
Right.
Why? Because I have a rock and it has marked a boundary for me.
Yeah.
And I'm not crossing that boundary. So David prayed there. You know another thing about a rock is a good prayer order. Good prayer order. But you want the right rock.
Yes, sir.
Notice here with me in this chapter, first of all, David's request. He said, hear me. He asked God, he said, hear. He said, well, God hears all prayers. Well, don't you think they get special attention?
Yeah.
You just want to ask God, God, would you give ear for a minute here. He said, well, he got billions of people praying to him at one time. Yeah, and he can hear every one of them.
Yes,
but I sure do want his attention fixed on me when I need help.
Amen.
I want him to know that I'm the one doing the praying here. This ain't a generic prayer.
Yeah.
God, I'm in trouble. My heart's overwhelmed, and I definitely need you to pay attention to my prayer.
Yes, that's
so David knew that, and David cried out. He said, hear my cry, O God. And then you look down in verse 2, he told the Lord, he said, and thou hast been, verse 2, and from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. He said, help me. Then he said, lead me.
Yeah.
God needs to lead us. When you follow the Lord and follow the working of the Holy Spirit of God, He always leads you to the right rock.
Yeah.
When you put your hope and your trust in things that pertain not to God and you're born again Christian, it will never turn out right.
Amen.
You'll end up on the wrong rock every time.
Yeah.
Amen?
Right.
And the world has a rock.
Yeah.
Money is the world's rock.
Yeah.
Fame is the world's rock.
Yeah, right.
Amen. Pleasure is the world's rock.
Yeah.
Entertainment is the world's rock. Lust and deceit is the world's rock.
That's good, Richard.
Our kids today, and bless their heart, the internet and the social media has got them so consumed in stuff that they should not be consumed with. Where you have a young couple somewhere in their 50s, in their 20s, and they living in a $500,000 condo, driving a $300,000 sports car. That ain't reality.
No, sir.
That is not reality. Reality is a Corvair with a bottom rusted out of it, and your wife's pregnant.
Yeah.
And you're trying to get her to the doctor, but you can't stay long at the red light because she'll smother to death and harm the baby.
Yeah.
That's what we started out with.
Yeah.
Y'all know nothing about that, do you?
Yeah, go ahead, Richard.
Some of y'all don't know what a Corvair is.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah.
My wife, I don't think I ever told that here. she was pregnant with her first son, and I was waiting outside the doctor's office, and I had a Corvair, and why, I don't know. Some people probably give it to us. We didn't have nothing. But it had one of them custom steering wheels on with a hose, and, you know, it's got three spokes and got hose in it. Well, I'm sitting there bored to death and fooled around, straight shift, fooled around and got my right hand finger hung in one of them holes. And I couldn't get it out. I drove that car from the other side of Birmingham back to the house, a four-speed, straight shift, right hand hung in the steering wheel. And the more you fool that thing, the redder that finger got and the bigger it got. Finally, we got back to the house and got some soap and stuff like that and finally got out of that. And why she went ahead and stayed with me is beyond me. She's over there getting checked for her baby we're fixing to have, and here's her idiot husband, her village idiot. Here's her village idiot sitting out there with his finger stuck through the steering wheel. It's never been boring, I can tell you this. I've been through a lot of things, but it wasn't boring. But David prayed there, and he said, "Lead me to the rock."
Yes, sir.
And now notice there that's higher than I.
Yeah.
You know, if you're ever going to get some help, you're going to have to get it from something higher than you.
Yeah.
You down in the dump, you're going to get no help in the dump. You're going to have to come out of the dump.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
You down on your luck, you don't want to get around nobody unlucky. You want to get around somebody that has good luck.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
If you're down emotionally, you don't want to hang around somebody that's got an emotional problem. You want to get around somebody that's chippery and up and encouraged. I don't hang around with bad-mouthing preachers.
Go ahead.
I just quit that.
Go ahead.
I just don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want nobody to bring me down. I want somebody to at least keep me level or pick me up to get me excited, to get me looking forward to doing things.
Right.
But a lot of people that have that kind of attitude, they associate with those same kind of people. Mm-hmm. And that's why they just go deeper and deeper and deeper into a hole. David said, "I want to go to the rock that's higher than me."
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's what's good when you got a husband and wife that's serving God, and one of them's down, and the Bible tells us that, the other one lift him up, you know, and the Bible tells you that.
Mm-hmm.
And women, you ought to be a lift, you'll be an encouragement for your husband. Husband, you ought to be an encouragement for your wife.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Right.
They down and out, get in there and stomp their guts out and tell them how sorry they are.
Mm-hmm.
No.
That's right.
Come home one day, the house ain't been cleaned out, well, I just ain't felt good. Well, just jump on them, tell them how lazy they are.
Yeah.
They got four kids there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll work real good.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm just picking at you now.
Right.
Encourage them. Lift them up. Amen. And he'll tell them what she's been through that day at home.
Mm-hmm.
You know how the devil can destroy a man quicker than anything else? Through his wife. Been many a preacher destroyed through the woman.
Mm-hmm.
Say, she a bad woman? No, the devil just got a hold of her.
Yeah.
Amen. But then he said, "Lord, help me. Lord, lead me. Lord, help me." It was the lowest time in his life. He's away from home. His son, he just got killed, just died. And he realized that God was in charge of that. And sometimes he'll leave you. God, you know, God puts us in a position sometimes where he just, you need to stay here for a while. You need to rest. Elijah, by the spring.
Yeah.
I got a message I preach on when God dries up the brook.
Yeah.
You know, if he never dried that brook up, Elijah never left.
That's right.
He had it made.
Yeah.
Old birds hauling him T-bone steak out of the woman's got who was after him?
Jezebel.
I'm old, y'all work with me here.
But
he had that fresh brook, had that tree sleeping under them, that food was coming in, whatever it may be. Why would he want to leave that?
Right.
And then he had fear.
Yeah.
If I go back out there, they're going to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
And God said, "Well, I've took care of you now a little bit. You've been restored."
Mm-hmm.
He cut the food off, cut the brook, dried up the brook.
Mm-hmm.
You know who got help? That little widow woman over
That's
there.
That's right. That's exactly right.
That's a problem today in a lot of churches. They're full of people that's laying by the brook.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Then David said in verse 2 and 3, hide me. See what he says there? He said in 3, thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower for my enemy. I abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the curvet of thy wings. So he not only did him to help him, his request was to help. Then he asked him to help me. He asked him to lead me. Then he asked him to hide me. That is a good prayer.
Yes, sir.
That is an excellent prayer. And that is a prayer of David for God to do that. But David realized that there was a rock higher than him. And that's what we need to realize as God's people. There's something greater than us. There's something greater than your workplace. There's something greater than your family. There's something greater than your marriage. There's something greater than your 401k. Amen. There's something greater than that, and that is God.
Yes, sir.
God is our rock. God is the one we lean on.
Amen.
God is the one we look to. And if God's ever going to use you, he's going to put you in a position where that's all you've got to look to.
Amen.
You can't look at nobody else. He'll corner you up, and he'll corner you up in a position where you ain't got but one source, and that's God.
Amen.
It might be in an emergency room at a hospital. It might be the bedside of a loved one. It might be in a divorce court. It might be at the unemployment office. But God will corner you up to where you ain't got but one thing to say. Help me, Lord.
Yeah.
I know what I'm going to do, God.
Right.
I need your help. You're going to have to do something here. Amen. And when God sees that you'll do that, chances are God will start using you.
Yeah.
Well, I can't do that. I don't have the money. Nothing I've ever done for God did I have the money to do it. God just started. He just done it.
Amen.
Years ago, Ms. Meyer needed a surgery, and we didn't have no insurance. We went years without insurance because we couldn't afford it. And had a little lady that she had befriended, and her husband pulled in our driveway and walked up, knocked on our door, and gave her $30,000 for that surgery. You said that? No. That's God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's right.
We didn't have nothing else we could do. First trip I took overseas preaching, preachers wanted me to come over there, and I didn't have a bit of money. I didn't have no money. Today people think I got money. Where did I get money? I've been in the ministry for 40 years. Where did I get any money at?
Yeah.
And I had a man come, and it was $6,200, and he didn't know that. But he come and to our house and gave us a check for $6,200. He said, I don't know what this is all about, but this is what God laid on my heart. I said, well, I'm going to buy myself a ticket, my wife a ticket, and Brad, Tyler's daddy, a ticket. Mm-hmm. And we're going to Ireland.
Hmm.
Amen. Now, will God do that every time? I don't know. He does that for me.
Yeah.
He done that for me, you know. And I learned real early to trust him.
Yeah.
Now, let's look, if you would. Look at verse 3 again. David's reason. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. See, David knew his help could come from God. In other words, this evidently was a past event. He said, you've been a shelter for me. God, I need help again. I need another shelter. You know, it's sad how often God bails us out of all kind of stuff, and still we doubt him. Still, we have a hard time trusting him.
Right.
Amen? And like groceries are going up, and gas is growing up, it going up and stuff like that. I mean, just trust God.
Mm-hmm.
Just trust the Lord.
Amen.
Will you be able to get everything you need to cook? Probably not. You get some of these old women in here that's been cooking for them big families back in the days, they'll show you how to make a meal.
Mm-hmm.
They can take nothing to make a meal out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? They didn't have grocery stores they could go to. You take money, you'd be amazed how little you can live on.
You're right.
Yeah. I mean, right now we live, I live good. I eat what I want to, where I want to,
yeah, right.
When I want to, with who I want to.
Yeah.
But we don't have to do that.
Right.
I pretty much buy what I want to. I wear what I want to. But it don't have to be like that.
Amen.
We can do a lot of stuff.
Amen.
But David reasoned there. He said, I know you've done it before God. Look in verse 3. For that has been a shelter for me and a strong tower. That's a place of defense from the enemy. Those towers were places of defense where they could get and see the enemy coming and also fight off those towers. So David knew what God was. And he said there, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. In verse 4, I would abide in thy tabernacle forever. I would trust in the covert of thy wings. Not only David's reason, but look at David's resources. He said, I'll stay in your tabernacle, sanctuary. Don't get away from the church.
Yeah.
Don't get away from God's people. Don't get away from fellowship. Don't get away from a gathering when God's people gather. You would draw so much strength from that.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Just coming in here and fellowship. Sweet, sweet spirit at this church. Come in here, fellowship, and meeting your buddies, seeing people. How's it going? Don't people been praying for you? Amen. We prayed for, I can't remember her name, but we prayed for you quite a bit before I retired from Glory Land for your cancer deal. I kind of know them like I know the back of my hand, but pray for people.
Yes.
You know people.
Right.
Baby is being raised.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that was their grandson and granddaughter, but I figured it out.
Yeah.
They brought them little babies by. I said, that's your grandkid, ain't it?
Yeah.
Amen. But I've been coming up here long enough. He was a little fellow when I started coming up. Amen. And that's just precious.
Amen.
I have married couples in my church that I was at the hospital when they were born. Now they're in their 30s, and they got their kids.
Yep.
The preacher I'm sitting under now, the pastor of the church I'm sitting under, or sitting out of, he was 8 years old when he surrendered to preach. I put a stool up behind the pulpit and let him preach. Well, last Sunday, his son, who is 12 or 11, he got up and he was preaching.
Yeah.
And I thought, what a blessing.
Yeah.
To watch that young man. And he went on, he's doing a great work for God, tremendous preacher. Now here comes his son.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
Why would you want to miss that?
Yeah, right.
Why would you want to miss seeing God bless his work?
Yeah, amen.
This is 1,000 times better than it was when I came here the first time.
Yeah.
Pulpit was up yonder, I believe.
Yeah.
And I told Myers over there, but it wasn't, it was up yonder.
Mm-hmm.
And man, God bless y'all.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Amen. I'll come back next time and look to see a big condo for the back cave.
Yeah,
God's really doing it. God's really work here. But David's resolve is, he said, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever.
Amen.
I will trust in thy covert of thy wings. He's talking about the chicken, how he gets his little beaties and puts under there. And he said, that's a place of safety. And that's what David's talking about. He had a resolution for this thing, and evidently he was in strong problem. He had a strong problem there, a bad problem. The enemy's coming after him, and he just wanted God to help him. When your world falls apart, don't go to their rock.
Right.
You go to our rock.
Yeah, that's good.
Their rock crumbles. Their rock changes.
Yeah, right.
Their rock changes almost every new year.
Right.
Every time you look at the news, their rock has changed. And you got a bunch of losers running their rock. Our rock is based on this Bible here.
Amen.
And it's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow as it's ever been.
Yeah.
You want to always turn to this rock.
Yeah, amen.
People when the economy fell here, I can't remember time hardly no more. But people lost thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in the market. I just ain't ever been one to let somebody else handle my money. I don't know. I ain't got none, but if I had some, I wouldn't be one to. Amen? My grandpa kept all his there at the house. Now, that probably ain't safe, and I don't recommend that, but I ain't going to stick my money that I worked hard for in something that somebody else is controlling.
Yeah, right.
And 9 out of 10 times beating you out of it.
Yeah.
Amen. But David's resolved there. He said, I'm going to dwell. I'm going to abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covenant of thy wings. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me a heritage of those that fear thy name. Amen. You know you have a heritage.
Yeah.
You not only have one waiting up there, we know that.
Right.
But I think you got a heritage down here.
Yeah, right.
Your heritage is this church.
Yeah, amen.
I don't know how long I've been coming up here, but some of you, you were little bitty fellas.
Mm-hmm.
These two right here, they were, I don't know, they were 14 years old, I guess. We started hanging around with each other. Yeah, might have been younger than that. To me, that's a heritage.
Yeah.
To see them and witness them, and some of y'all here, I don't know names because I ain't that familiar with this church, but to come back and see you here.
Amen.
To come back and see that you got married to her and she got married and they got grandbabies, and now some of you young people are old people and got grandkids, and amen. That's a heritage, but we know we got a heritage in heaven. Why? That's for the family of God together.
Yes, sir.
But we have a heritage here. And I've run around this country for so many years that a lot of churches is like my family.
Yes, sir.
They know everything about me. They won't know how this is doing, how that's doing. And a lot of them have been to church so much, and these two right here, they know about everybody in church as good as I do. They always asking me about stuff. We're trying to figure out about them Navajos the other night.
Yeah.
Who belonged to who? And I've been out there 68 times for 32 years, and I still ain't got a clue who belongs to who. By the time you think you got that bunch figured out, one comes out of the woods. Oh, that's yours too, huh?
Yeah, you're right.
But David resolved. You in that condition this morning, you need to come to a resolve. You need to, hey, this is what I need to do.
Right.
To quit bouncing around.
Yeah, right.
Quit coming and going. Down 1 minute, on the mountaintop the next minute.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I'm going to try this church out over here next Sunday. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Why don't you just get in here?
Yeah, right.
Sometimes the road will get rough, and sometimes it'll get real smooth. Sometimes the water will be bitter, and sometimes it'll be real sweet. Amen? Sometimes Brother Carpenter will be serving you T-bone and the ribeyes. Sometimes he's just giving you baked beans. Bacon and beans, I think, with no bacon. Amen? Just beans. But you know, at the end of the road, you know what you're going to have? You're going to be happy.
Yeah, right.
You're going to have a good family that loves God.
Amen.
You're going to have some kids that want to serve God.
Right.
At the end of the road. When you go to their rock, it'll change on you. It'll change on you. What you put your trust in out there, next thing you know, it's gone. You go outside this church or outside the Christian faith and find you a boyfriend or a girlfriend, fall in love with them, marry. Next thing you know, he's serving the wrong rock. He ain't got the same desires you got. Or she, whoever it may be. Next thing you know, his rock's going to leave him off somewhere. Then here you sit with your babies.
You're right, brother.
I don't mean it. It might be a situation like that, and I definitely don't mean to hurt you. Buddy, you need to keep your eyes on your rock.
Yes. Amen.
And need to realize that God knows I'm here and God's going to take care of me.
Yes, sir.
And I've seen that so many times in the churches where they sit there and next thing you know somebody show up, get married, and just have a good, happy life. David said, I want my rock, not your rock. The last thing you'll notice there in verse 4 is David's rest. It's a tremendous blessing to be able to rest in the Lord. Just lay down. Some of y'all go home this afternoon. I know what you'd do. If I was at home, I know what I'd do. Our old bodies somehow know it's Sunday afternoon. Work like a dog all through the week, but on Sunday, buddy, it throws a towel in and cries mercy. You see, David here, he said, he shall abide before God forever, O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So I will sing unto thy name forever, that I might daily perform thy vows. He is wanting to rest in the Lord. You know what? You can't rest in their rock. You can rest on our rock. Their rock is full of turmoil, war, rumors of wars. All kind of ungodly stuff they're trying to put in now, and are. Who in the world? I've been listening to the news a little bit about this each kid can get up and go to school, and this Monday they refer to as a they, or him or his. Next Monday they can go and have another pronoun. And the teachers are not allowed to tell the parents that they're doing it. How confusing. What do you think is going to come out of that? Thank God you got a mom and daddy that snap you back when you wander off crooked. How confusing. And you got now they want a little kid that don't even know what their favorite color is to make a decision on whether or not they want to be a boy or a girl. That is demonic, is what that is. That is a demonic power out to destroy our children. And you don't have control of your kids if you put them out in the public. Little 12-year-old boy, they went to court and unplugged him. And his mom and daddy didn't want him to be took off of life support. And had no say-so over it. Course decided. Course decided to unplug your kid. That ain't right.
No, sir.
But I know cases where people laid for 2 years like that. The next thing you know, they opened. Now, it wasn't the other day. It was a woman. She'd been in a coma like 20 years. And she just woke up one day and opened her eyes. I don't know about that. David's rest. The reason the church today is so restless is they have their hope and their trust, their dreams, their plans, all based on their rock and not our rock. Jesus Christ said, I never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Right.
Jesus Christ said, I shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Those are promises you can get a hold of and do something with. Amen? So you want to always pray as David did here. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I.
Yeah, amen.
This whole system is set up on a higher power.
Yes, sir.
Your workplace, you in there, you got somebody above you.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody above you, somebody above you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way the whole world's set up. In the family, the husband is to be the leader. Does that make the wife less? No, that ain't the way God set it up.
Right.
Somebody has to be an authority. Now, don't leave me here.
Yeah. Amen.
You say, well, my husband can't do that. Well, you married that sorry sucker. Go check it out and see if he can balance the checkbook or see if he can make a decision.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, he don't want to fool with the checks. Well, he needs to. I ain't going to get into all that. Amen. But I want to encourage you this morning. Go back to your rock.
Yes, sir.
Quit putting your trust in things that ain't stable. You see, our rock never leaves.
That's right.
Our rock never... You won't go there one day and it ain't there.
That's right.
You won't go there one day and it ain't as big as it used to be.
Yeah, right.
You won't go there one day and it's a different color.
No, yeah. Sir.
You won't go there one day and his name's been changed to a stone rather than a rock.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah. Our rock is secure and stable.
Yeah, amen.
I hope you got something out of this message this morning. Stay with God. I know the world's got a draw on the church and God's people like never before. But stay with God. Always go with God. And get your eyes off of so much of that garbage going on out there.
Yep.
And that's what it is, garbage. That's all it is garbage. Every time you look at that news, man, there's something else going on.
Yes, sir.
Corruption, ungodliness. I hope you got something out of what I preached this morning. Let's bow our heads. Brother Carpenter, if you'd like to come. Father, we thank you, God, for the sweet spirit here. Thank you, Lord, for the liberty to preach. Thank you, God, for the things out of this book that we can preach to help your people, Father. God, most of all, if there's someone here this morning that has never bowed their knee and accepted you as their Savior, I pray, Father, you touch that heart. Let them know, God, that you love them. You died for them, Father. Let them know, God, that you sent your Son to pay for their sin. And I pray, God, tonight, this morning, that you stir in that heart, Maybe there's a child of God here that's done got crossways and difference about the things they've been taught and don't like the rules and regulations, Lord. Or I pray, God, that they'll draw near to you this morning. The devil's got a strong draw on us, Lord. Help us, God, to fight the good fight in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And I suppose they're going to see something special.